I know there are other games this weekend, Peter. I don't mean to undersell the other games, but I love watching Leicester City. I think what they've pulled more points back from a losing position than any other team in the Premiership this year. They are literally never out of a match. And you know what? Manchester United can't score to save their life. Could we possibly see Leicester City pull out a win here? I'll take that as a yes.
Oh, well. We're asking a lot. You know, he's a long way away.
He is a long way away.
Yes.
Travis is laughing. I'll take that as a yes. So I'm going to have to go through the whole freaking thing all over again.
It was really good. You teed that up beautifully.
All right. Leicester City is top of the table. They have pulled more points back from a losing position than any other team in the Premiership.
You just said that.
I did. Leicester City's not a big club by any stretch of the imagination. They're also a club that fired its coach last year for a variety of reasons, one of which was a unfortunate YouTube shot of his son in Thailand, which we'll just leave it at that. But yet here we are, Leicester City. They're atop the Premiership with 28 points. Manchester United is second with 27 points. Now we're joined by Peter Drury, who will have the call of that game. Peter, thanks for your patience. Thanks for joining us. Leicester City scores goals. They don't mind being behind. They sometimes seem to enjoy spotting their opponent, the odd early goal, and coming back. And Manchester United just can't score to save their life. Is there a chance Leicester City pulls this off?
I honestly believe there is. It seems such a peculiar thing to say, doesn't it, guys, that you perceive Leicester as favourites to beat Manchester United, that you feel sort of historically uncomfortable saying that because it oughtn't to happen. But, of course, it did last autumn at the start of the season. One of the games of the Premier League last year was Leicester beating Manchester United 5-3. And since then, things have developed so spectacularly for Leicester. And you're right, we have actually at Leicester tomorrow the Premier League's best attack statistically, 28 goals Leicester, against his best defence, Manchester United, who've scored only 9. And the contrast I heard you making between the teams actually before the line dropped out just now, just before I got to open my mouth and speak, is a really interesting one. Leicester's 13 games in the Premier League this year have contained 48 goals. Manchester United have contained 28 goals. Manchester United are so measly by comparison with Leicester. I think clearly the world is full of Manchester United supporters, but those who aren't Manchester United supporters, most neutrals, would love to think that Leicester are able, because of the style they've played with this year, to pull something special off tomorrow.
Did anybody come into the season saying, you know, the guy we've really got to watch this year in the BPL is Jamie Vardy? Because if they were, I missed that.
If they were, then what far-sighted individuals they must be, because he's taken everybody by surprise, I think. And do you know what? I don't think even Jamie Vardy came into this season saying the guy you've got to watch is Jamie Vardy. He has just had one phenomenal run. And whether he's capable of maintaining it and scoring one more goal to break the new record and become the first man to score in 11 consecutive Premier League games, well, this would be a very pertinent game to do it in, of course, because the previous holder of the record was Ruud van Nistelrooy some 12 years ago. And listen, you wouldn't rule it out. I think Vardy, in a way, personifies Leicester in the sense that he is all about momentum and belief. They are a bandwagon. He is a personal bandwagon, rolling with such speed and such certainty that they believe all things are possible, and he believes all things are possible. And oddly enough, referring back again to last autumn's game, that 5-3 game, that was the game actually where he really announced himself as a Premier League player, Jamie Vardy. He was brilliant against Manchester United last September. Everybody sat up and took notice. And now, listen, we can hardly ignore him because he writes his own headline every week.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that he has a chance to establish a new successive game scoring record in the Premier League. He's tied Ruud van Nistelrooy's 10. He's also, if he scores, that sets him up to take a shot at Jimmy Dunn's record of 12 from 1931 to 32, which is the obviously pre-premiership, but the top flight record. And I think people need to realize this guy's a great story, isn't he? Because this isn't kind of one of your gilt-edged starlets who has just kind of hit the ground running and advanced, you know, from youth leagues up to the main team. And this is a guy who was not even an afterthought, really. And now, Peter, as you well know, you pick up any of the transfer rumors or any of the, you know, the websites that have transfer rumors. Now you hear Real Madrid's interested in him. It's quite a turnaround for a kid, isn't it?
It is extraordinary. Listen, this guy, and I really don't want anybody to think this is being patronizing. It's not. It's just a matter of fact. This is an earthy northern guy who was, at the time Ruud van Nistelrooy was scoring in 10 consecutive games, he was 16 years old, Jamie Vardy, and he'd just been released by Sheffield Wednesday. He wasn't going to make the grade. He was a bit too small to be a professional footballer. So he went away to play for an amateur team called Stocksbridge Park Steels. He was in their youth team. He progressed quite well through them. He went to play for Halifax, which was a club a couple of leagues beneath the four main professional leagues. He did very well with them. He went on to Fleetwood. Now, 4 years ago this weekend at Fleetwood, he was still in what we used to call the conference. That, in effect, is the fifth level of English football. 4 years ago this weekend, he scored an equaliser for Fleetwood at Gateshead in front of a crowd of 768. Still nobody outside of that little bubble had really heard of him. And now here he is, 4 years on. At the age of 28, he's really quite a late developer as someone who is potentially England's upcoming centre-forward and a remarkable headline maker. And you're right, he wasn't built in any sporting sense with a silver spoon in his mouth, you know. He's had to work for everything he's got. And he's a source of inspiration for anyone who plays any sport at a lower level. You know, if you keep at it, it just might be you. You've got a chance. And tomorrow, funnily enough, he'll come up against Chris Smalling, the Manchester United centre-half, whose story is not identical but not dissimilar. He's another one of very few players in the Barclays Premier League who didn't come through youth sections and fancy clubs with wonderful training regimes. He, too, was a non-league player at Maidstone down in the southeast corner of England. And the juxtaposition of those two tomorrow should be a source of inspiration for amateur sports people everywhere.
Peter, how close is this United side to becoming the sum of its parts, to living up to the potential that roster would suggest?
Oh, I mean, that is a very big call. It depends whether you want to consider yourself a Manchester United fantasist or even a traditionalist who assumes and insists that Manchester United ought to play flamboyant, thrilling, crowd-pleasing football, or whether, as you're perfectly entitled to be, you're a Manchester United supporter and a pragmatist who wants to win the majority of the games you play, however you go about doing that, and end the season potentially with a trophy or two. Manchester United are not pleasing their own supporters, especially at the moment, because they're not giving them great value for money. You know, they're just not scoring goals. And frankly, it can be a bit dull. You know, they drew 0-0 in the Champions League in the week again. But on the other hand, you've got to say their form is good. You know, the last time they lost in the Premier League was to sort of 20 minutes of brilliance from Arsenal. That was the first Sunday in October. They haven't lost any of 9 games in all competitions since, except one penalty shootout in the League Cup. And they are accruing points. If they win at Leicester, which is, of course, very possible, they will end the weekend on top of the Premier League. So who, in a sense, is complaining? It's sort of the beauty against the beast argument, whether you're prepared to accept that the sum of those parts you mentioned for them is efficiency sufficient to please. And if it is, then they are the sum of the parts. They're doing okay. But frankly, they were lucky at Watford last week in the end, and they're sort of getting away with it. So I've been around the houses and not really answered your question, but it is a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
And a question of aesthetics, you know, as well, as aesthetics versus efficiency.
Well, yes, exactly that.
The other thing too, Peter, is, you know, as someone who follows Manchester United, I'll tell you, every time I see David De Gea out there, I you know, you give thanks, because I don't know if people realize how close Manchester United came to not having him, and he's far and away their player of the year. And I don't... if they win this thing, I can't imagine anybody else being the player of the year. He is on the verge, I think, of becoming the best goalkeeper in the world, isn't he?
No question. Absolutely brilliant. And even, I have to say, and as you clearly have noted, even in the relatively humble games, you know, I said they were lucky at Watford last week. I think on balance, Manchester United probably just about deserved to beat Watford. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they ought to be beating Watford. And the point I'm making is that without David De Gea making two, maybe three really first-class saves, they wouldn't have beaten Watford. You know, and that is a game that Manchester United, frankly, ought to be taking for granted. His record, De Gea, I'm just looking at the notes I've prepared for the game tomorrow, 5 clean sheets in 9 Premier League games. He conceded those 3 goals, none of which were his fault, in those first 20 minutes at Arsenal at the start of October. Since then, he has conceded 2 goals in 8 games. One of those in the Champions League in Moscow, and that very late Troy Deeney penalty for Watford last weekend. 2 goals in 8 games. And he has been busy, you know. Those haven't been cheap clean sheets. He's had to make saves, and he repeatedly has. I agree with you. I mean, who's better than him at the moment? I couldn't give you an answer to that question.